Good morning and welcome to the Reopen Westport Advisory Team meeting of Thursday, June 11th, 2020. I am Jennifer Tooker, Westport Second Selectwoman and Chair of the team. Would everybody like to join me in the Pledge of Allegiance? Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all. Thank you. All right. We have just a few agenda items today, and we will, I was going to say we will jump right in, but the first agenda item is I'm asking Mark Cooper, our health director, to update us on health metrics both locally and at the state level. But I see, I see he's dark, but I see he just unmuted himself, so maybe he's going to come join us. Mark, are you there?
I'm here. Yes, you ready?
Fabulous. We just can't see you.
Yep. Nope. You're not going to see me today. Good morning, everyone. Since June 1st, so from the numbers I'm going to give you are from June 1st to basically yesterday. Of course, the state numbers in terms of total case numbers are going up, and in that time period, they went up 2,100, just about 20, oh, a little over 2,100. The deaths, of course, on the state level keep going up. In that time frame, they've gone up 176. The good news, and one of the major metrics the governor keeps looking at, is the number of hospitalizations, and that actually has gone down in that time period from June 1st. That's gone down 191. In terms of Westport, we've been pretty stable at 179 cases. We're now at 180 cases. Of those cases, we're watching pretty closely. 118 were not hospitalized. 26 of those 179 cases were hospitalized, and 135, we just don't know whether they were hospitalized or not. But on June 1st, we had about 21 deaths, and as of yesterday, we had 23 reported deaths. The majority of the deaths we've had in Westport are from the skilled nursing facility. The good news is we don't see a big increase in our numbers in terms of new cases, and we're not seeing a large increase in our number of deaths. Any questions on any of what I just said?
Yeah, if I might, you mentioned 280, but we're seeing 296 in Westport now, probable cases. Could you explain that difference, please?
Well, probable, they're saying it could be likely. Yes, we don't have good numbers on those probables. I'm giving you information on the confirmed cases that we deal with and do follow up on. In terms of one of the other things that, yes, you did want me to report on was the number of contact tracings we're doing. And currently, we're only really looking at two people, I believe. Most of those people that have been cases in the past for Westport have already gone through their 14 days or already, back out in the community and fine. So again, we're looking at two active people that, and I'd have to ask community health where they are in that 14-day period. But after you complete your 14 days, you drop off our caseload, off our contact tracing list. So again, our contact tracing list keeps going down. Of course, if we get a new case, let's say theoretically today, which is possible, they would go back to the top of our contact tracing list, and we'll keep watching them. I'll try to get numbers on the probable cases. Again, we're dealing in the community health section with the confirmed cases. To item number two, if you don't, yeah.
Actually, hold on just a second, Mark. So, just to give context to the public who may be watching, this is something that Mark Cooper has agreed to do every week as we continue to reopen more and more of the economy and more and more of our town services. These are the metrics that the governor has talked about that we should all be watching as we reopen, and we certainly are very committed to that in Westport, to watch those metrics. Mark Cooper and his team are doing that regularly. So our weekly meetings will start off with a recap from Mark, just like this, for the foreseeable future, to make sure the public knows that that we're looking at all these metrics very seriously. And again, Mark, just I know it feels repetitive, but just for the sake of maybe some people who are new to watching our meetings, Would you just give an update? I assume St. V's is still ready and willing to take people in for testing at any point in time. Is that correct? They have plenty of capacity.
They've got plenty of capacity. My understanding is they have capacity up to 500. And again, their numbers are, I don't know exactly what it is every day, but the last I heard was somewhere in the 20 range, grossly under capacity. So anybody needing or wanting testing can go up there. In fact, that seems to be a problem statewide. The state has built up all this capacity across the state, and it is getting underutilized all over. The people are using it. Obviously, the number of people getting tested does go up every day, but they have a lot more capacity than is being used, not only in Westport, but statewide.
Great. Thank you for that update. Does anybody have any further questions for Mark? Anybody on the team have any further questions for Mark at this point in time? Oh, yeah, Matt. Okay.
One more quick one. These tests, they're just tests that show that you currently have it, or do these tests show that you may have had it in the past?
I think you're offering both up there. You know, what the important test for us at this point really is whether you are positive or negative right now. Lots of discussion, debate about the value of the antibody testing, meaning you may have been exposed in the past, and or the big question is whether having it in the past gives you any protection in the future. But that's, everybody's working on that, and others are going to decide those questions. So no, the test is whether you're positive right now or not.
Great, thank you. And like I said, we'll look forward to those reports on a weekly basis. And Mark will, of course, let us know in between meetings if there's anything for us to be concerned about. But at the moment, we are on schedule and on track for a safe and healthy reopening here in Westport. Okay, yeah, definitely. So let's move on to agenda item number two, and that's just an update from the various liaisons on phase two business sectors that are reopening now. Instead of on the 20th, they're now reopening as of the 17th of June, which is next Wednesday, I guess in time for Father's Day and Father's Day weekend. So maybe I'll ask Matthew to start with just kind of an update on the indoor restaurant, indoor dining piece of the restaurants and just where we are. I think you just had a call with a lot of restaurant owners.
Yeah, well, let's start with outdoor. Just to fill you in, we now have 34 restaurants that have been approved. And again, this is an arduous mission, and Nate and Mary have done a wonderful job of getting this done, and they continue to do outside. On outside, an interesting thing has come up since the 20th when they opened. On the 29th, which was five people at a table, the change came on the 29th, 9 days later, that could have 25 at a table outdoors. And so the town has talked about this a little bit and have talked to the restaurants and are asking them to voluntarily stay at a 10-table limit for the time being as we move to the indoor aspect of it. And so that was discussed this morning, to voluntarily hold the number at 10. They can go to 25, but we're just saying that the concept is Westport has already been through being the epicenter, and that a party of 25 could create issues. And for the next couple of weeks, as we move to phase two in indoor, that they hold it, and they seem to be pretty amenable to it. Obviously, we can't hold them to it. It's a voluntary request. So that's that part. Indoor dining. So we had a meeting this morning. We talked about it. And prior, there was a meeting of Jen Gibbons, Cooper, and myself move forward. When we did the outdoor dining, it was through an approval process because it was dealing with planning and zoning and physical protection of people outside. And so there was an approval process. And what the town will be doing here is a good faith process where everybody has a restaurant permit already to be a restaurant, and the goal is for them to set up at 50% of inside capacity, and that's in addition to the 50% outside. So the goal is for 100% capacity, and that they will deal with the 6 feet distance, the plexiglass, and the whole process of proper COVID handling, and that they would be spot checked on a add you know, and a basis where either the health department or the fire department, fire marshal, would just show up. And if they look at them and everything is hunky-dory, everything's good. If there's an issue, they will talk to them and try to work with them and try to make sure it's good. When they come back a second time, if it's not fixed, they will be written up. And with a formal write-up, and maybe Nate can explain that a little bit more, and then they'll go away. And if they come back a third time and it's not fixed, they will close them down. And so what we talked about was this is a trust in the restaurants that you're going to be doing the right thing as restaurateurs, as people who are already dealing with sanitary issues to begin with, to follow through, and that the town believes that you will do this, and that they'll follow through, and if they don't, they'll have to suffer the consequences. And all of them were pretty pleased with that and all said, yes, we're going to move forward with it. So that's where it is. So on the 17th, they're going to start doing indoor. And there were a bunch of questions that were asked. I have about 9 or 10 of them that I'm going to go seek out from the Connecticut Restaurant Association and from the DECD to get answers about width of plexiglass, height. One thing I did stress, and Nate, you're probably getting a bunch of calls, was that any plexiglass or wood that's being built between places or being hung from the ceiling, they should talk to you to make sure that they are not going afoul of proper fire procedure. So you might be getting a few calls from guys doing that. Not many, I think, are going to be doing the booth separations. They don't have that, but some will. There was a lot of discussion about how to deal with a bar, because they're allowing bar seating, where the plexiglass has to be, how wide does it have to be, and I will get those answers from the state. That's it. There'll be another meeting of the restaurant group next Thursday to see how they're doing and just keep up. But they're pretty pleased with how things are moving. The issues with masks, people coming and doing masks, not doing masks, seems to have fallen away. Everybody seems to be showing up with masks, are comfortable going to their table with masks. It just was a learning process for our community. And so that's where we're at.
And Matthew, by and large, the restaurants are really happy to have the opportunity to reopen.
Yeah, they're really pleased. And, you know, as I said, we've got 34 that are doing the outdoor. One other thing. So the 50% outside, 50% inside gives them the 100%. And then there'll be this question of as they change moving forward, planning and zoning is in a position to allow for the outside to remain longer and through the summer and into the fall, as long as weather is good, to allow for this to continue. And so that's the one caveat piece that the state hasn't quite addressed. But the town is ready to aid the restaurants in allowing them to continue forward that way.
Great. Thank you. Any questions for Matthew? I think we'll kind of continue on the reporting out of the business sector reopenings. And then, Nate, I am going to ask you to, through agenda item number 3, talk a little bit more about some compliance and enforcement issues. So does anybody have any questions for Matthew on the restaurants? No. Okay, great.
Jen, can you hear me now? I do have a point for Matt. Matt, for the restaurants that have not gone through the opening process for outside, so they're opening for the first time, let's say inside, they should go through the self-certification process. You probably know that. You just didn't mention it.
In my meeting with them, I said to them, any of you who have not done the outside, you must self-certify. I pointed them to the Chamber's website, the webpage specifically for restaurant opening, for them to do it, and their instructions. There were questions about temperature and taking temperatures and not, and so we went through that process a little bit more. And some of the questions they were asked, do they have to test patrons coming in for temperature? And we don't think so, but we're going to get confirmation from the state, and also, you know, how wide is plexiglass and things like that.
Okay, thank you.
Great. Well, Mark, while you're, you just went on mute again. Do you want to go unmute and update us on anything with nail salons and basically all other personal services that are going to be allowed to reopen starting on the 17th?
Sure.
From that sector, thank you.
Sure. We had, starting out in the year, 55 licensed barbershops and hair salons. Four have closed and are not sure whether they're going to reopen or not. They're going to, I guess, check out the business climate. So that leaves us 51 potential shops. Of the 51, 24 have submitted plans, 22 have been approved, to our pending, receipt of some additional clarification or information. But they seem ready to go, and everybody seems to be compliant. We are having some issues with one, who, as of yesterday afternoon, my understanding is going about the process of doing what they needed to do just to open previous to COVID-19, and getting the permits and all that stuff from the other agencies they need to do that. So it looks like everybody's working to comply, and the other shops that have decided not to open at this point, when they come to us, we'll work with them to try to get them open. That's it.
Excellent. Anything from nail salons, eyelash studios, anything like that with the, that will be able to open on the 17th. Any news from that sector?
Well, what I've just talked about is only hair on the head, stuff that they're not allowing anything that would require the removal of the mask. So yes, I don't think we've seen the nail salon opening sector rules yet. I think we're waiting on some of those. So it's just hair salons, again, hair salons, barbershops that can open. And you can do whatever you need, you can do, but you can't remove the facial mask covering has to stay on.
Right. Okay. Great. Thank you. Any questions for Mark? Anybody? All right. Bodhi, do you want to give us a quick update on the railroad station?
Good morning, everyone. I can give you updates to the railroad station. I mentioned it earlier, we had a staff meeting this morning. We are certainly seeing an increase in traffic on our roadways. We're seeing backups on 95 during the rush hours, both morning and the afternoons. We are not seeing, if anything, tiny or very little increase as far as ridership on the trains right now. As far as our stations, they continue to be very clean, and they're getting cleaned every hour, including bathroom, benches, and the platforms themselves. And Metro North is certainly trying to do their part. There's even what they're calling a steward. They've assigned somebody starting Monday to work at the train stations from the state to have any frequently asked questions for the commuters. So there will be somebody at every train station for the next 6 months. And that's something that the state is providing. So that will certainly be help to us. Again, they're not there to clean. They're not there to do anything. They're there for questions and to guide the commuters through any issues or even help in getting connected to subway or buses and things like that. So that's a great move that the state is moving forward on, and I think will be help to us. We are certainly making adjustments, everything from security to custodians and everything to just meet the requirements, but we certainly don't have the need that we did 4 months ago, so to speak, on that. We'll see. I mean, what's interesting is because it's the time for renewal for permits, everybody who had a permit for the most part is renewing. So the anticipation is that they will be going back. We haven't seen a decrease in that in the rate. So we're very hopeful for that. And if even if they don't, we have a relatively long wait list that we'll move forward on. And, it's a public meeting in case people are interested in that. So train stations are ready to go. It's minimal. We still have not seen more than 100 cars at our train station so far on any given day. And that those are parking lots that we're seeing in excess of 2,000 cars a day.
Right. I think it's great, though, for people to know, and if they are starting to commute into the city, that, everything's being cleaned very regularly, that the waiting areas are open, and that we're really, as you said, really ready to go and make sure that the commute, if they're commuting by train, will be as clean and safe as possible.
Right, Jenna, what we need to keep in mind is at the end of June, we usually see about a 40 to 45% ridership anyway into New York because of people's schedules and travel plans and things like that. So we can't really gauge it to what we would see normally after Labor Day, but certainly the numbers are a lot less. On any given summer day, we're rarely over 50% capacity. That number is still pretty drastic to what we're seeing right now, but it needs to stay relative to what we see from day to day at this time of year.
Understood. Yeah, thank you. All right, does anybody have any questions for Fodi on just reopening on our roads or on The train station? Okay. All right. Jen, Fava, do you want to update us on fitness facilities and gyms and what you're doing with that sector?
Sure. So we actually sent out to a link so that everyone could access everybody that we had in terms of fitness centers with the information to give them the packet for the reopening. In reviewing it, I think they actually did a fairly good job. It seems fairly easy to understand and follow, and that they covered a lot of the points. One question that was brought up was about, I guess there's some question about mask wearing. So when you come in, basically if you're entering a fitness center, you're supposed to be wearing a mask at all times, unless you are actually partaking in the physical activity and you can be distanced by 12 feet. So some people are going to have, whether it's equipment or different stations, if you're less than the 12 feet, you must exercise with your mask on. And anytime you're walking around the facility, and again, and during, as you walk in and walk out. So just to keep that in mind. I did have a conversation with someone from DECD yesterday morning, which is the Department of Economic and Community Development with the state, and you know, reviewing all these plans. And he did mention, so I just want to put this out there, that they do anticipate some additional clarifications and maybe some changes coming shortly. He said usually like a week after they initially get released. So we should probably anticipate to keep our eyes out for any kinds of changes or clarifications that we might see, you know, whether it's over the weekend. I think they released it last week on Sunday. So Sunday, Monday, we should probably anticipate to see some additional changes before the Wednesday opening. So may not give us much time, but hopefully it's just some clarification and not anything that's really going to be drastic for us. We are also, I do want to reiterate too, that all of these facilities should need to self-certify, just like all the other businesses. So they will need to go onto the state website and self-certify that they have everything in place. And then we are doing a Zoom meeting on Monday at 11 regarding best practices for different fitness centers. So I guess if people have not received that invite and they're in that industry and they want to get something from us, it will be focused on fitness centers. But I guess they can, and you can confirm, I would assume they could email the reopen email address and we could get that information out. But so that's kind of where we are.
Great, thank you. And to Jen's point, and again for the public, you know, with the first round of business sectors reopening, we did a frequently asked question document for each of those business sectors. We'll do the same for this round as well, but it doesn't suit us to do it at this point in time because, to Jen's point, we know that the state is going to change some things between now and the 17th. It's just a matter of what. So, you know, we will, but for the public to know, you know, these FAQs are really not only great for business owners from a standpoint of really trying to figure out how to navigate some of the rules that are coming out of the state, but also as a consumer and as a member of the community, when you go into a business or, you know, a commercial establishment, you'll know what to expect as from an experience standpoint. So we will endeavor to get, like I said, for the sectors opening on the 17th, we will endeavor to get some FAQs up on our website. But right now, we're just trying to keep up with the things coming out of the state and make sure we understand all those. Any questions at all on the fitness and gym facilities? Okay. And John Bears, do you have anything to update us on just from a standpoint of the school reopening work that's being done, or
not in terms of firmed plans, but our committee presented to the Board of Education on Monday night, and folks will be able to look back at that recording. We actually are working on creating a web page that'll be a one-stop shop for everyone to get the updates. The Board of Ed is holding special meetings at the end of June, on June 22nd and June 29th, as well as into July, to get regular updates and provide updates for the board. One thing of note that I found interesting this morning, looking on, it was on Westport Now, that our real estate sales are nearly double in percentage where they were a year ago. It's another factor we have to look at. How does that impact us? Because this would have been nothing the demographers had looked at last fall when we were doing projections of enrollment. So we'll have to keep a close eye. It could be a problem. It also could be a very good problem that we have to work through. That's the way I would see it. But something that'll be a challenge on many potential fronts as we look into the fall. So as with everyone else, things are changing so rapidly, it's hard for us to say now where we will be a few months from now. And the only other thing, I'll just echo what Matt Mandel just brought up about looking at plexiglass and the like, or whatever we're using with fire code. I know, Nate, that I believe you're aware of the issue with some of the partitions people are proposing for schools, and that could be a problem in terms of meeting fire code. So that's one of the things we're looking into. But that's about it for updates, unless someone has a question.
Does anybody have a question for John? Big day tomorrow for our schools because of graduating all of our seniors at Staples. So I know that's a really exciting day for all of you in the administration as well, John. So thank you.
It is. And I'd be remiss if I didn't publicly acknowledge and thank Randy for the banners downtown. It looks incredible. It's such a nice thing to see and a way to celebrate our seniors. So thank you to the downtown merchants and Randy for getting that to work.
Yeah, the downtown looks fabulous, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. All right, so anything else on business sector openings for next week? I think we're all just doing what we need to do to stay on top of it and to communicate with as many business owners in town as we can and help them be ready for the 17th. Okay, I don't see anybody. All right, so moving on to agenda item number 3. We've asked Fire Marshal Gibbons to join us today to just give a little bit of an update at a 30,000 foot level on compliance and enforcement efforts to date through the first couple of weeks of reopening. And then I think both Matt and Jen touched on it, but and Mark Cooper might have as well. But in general, what are some of our strategies going forward as more and more of our businesses reopen? I think that the governor says, at least from a statewide standpoint, he believes about 95% of the economy will be back open after phase two, so after the 17th of June. So we're kind of making a big leap, and so maybe Nate can give us a little bit of an overview of where we are today on compliance and how our businesses are approaching the reopening safely.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Give you a quick summary of what's been going on. First, we'll talk about applications for outdoor dining. They've slowed way down. Mary and I had a big rush initially. It's slowed to a trickle. I have to compliment the restaurants who've been working with us. They have done a terrific job in addressing this. We've been able to get them open quickly. We're turning the apps around, typically 48 hours, sometimes even faster. What we're doing, and we're finding that many restaurants aren't able to get all the setup of materials they need, tables and chairs. So we're doing stepped approvals. This is a couple places in Saugatuck where, you know, they applied for 6 tables. They only got 4. So we're saying, okay, here's 4. And when you get the other 2, we're going to come down, take a look, and sign off on that. The core of that, of course, is all the sanitation, COVID cleaning stuff. That doesn't impact table count, but that's where we're moving ahead with the partials. We'll get you open partially, and as you get your full complement of tables, we'll come back out, sign off on that, so you can expand to the footprint that you originally applied for. In terms of enforcement, the active restaurants who knew about this are on top of their game. There is a undercurrent of smaller places. I won't call them mom and pops, but kind of behind them shopping center type places, as well as a couple of chains, which just opened up and didn't do anything. We verbally counseled them and actually provided them with a packet of information, including the application materials, for them to apply to Mary and to get the process going. Mary and I have been discussing this. Some of them have applied. Some of them have not. I will say the one that has not has cleared their outdoor dining, and they're still just doing takeout. It is a national chain, and obviously they have a corporate structure that they have to go through to do this. These elephants don't tap dance that fast as some of the local places do. We have a significant challenge with outdoor takeout service near the beach. Multiple complaints, zero enforcement. It's checked every day. Every day it's a posse of kids all hanging out, having a great time. Nobody's wearing masks. There's seniors walking by. I've got multiple calls from neighbors in neighborhoods in the area. Mark and I are wrestling with this because they're not enforcing it. You know, they put a sign up on a 3x5 card and they figure that's enforcement. So that's a challenge moving forward. You know, we're not looking to shut anybody down, but it's the type of thing where signage makes a huge difference. You know, if I was to recommend a sign that said, you know, no mask, no service, nice big sign, that would be great. But I can't tell them what to hang on their walls. So enforcement generally smoothly, not a lot of real issues, mostly complaint-based now on mask wearing. The places that got flagged for illegal outdoor service have all complied and are working through the process. Changing gears a little bit, let's talk about that plexiglass, or actually what we call it, acrylic sheet is what it is. Plexiglass is a copyright name. Acrylic sheet is a flammable plastic material. And as you know, flammable materials in places of assembly, like restaurants and schools, are tightly regulated. I have a query into the state fire marshal on what their interpretation is going to be on how to address these. It's not an interior finish. A finish is what you apply to a wall or a floor or a ceiling. These are freestanding partitions made of flammable plastic. They affect exiting sometimes. If you have sprinklers in your building, they definitely affect how the sprinklers are going to spray should they need to go off. The big problem is what's known as flame spread and smoke generated, for those of you in the technical stuff. How fast will it burn, and how much toxic smoke comes off of it? I know that I've been speaking with facilities for Board of Ed because they are very smartly out ahead of this to get an order together to Modern Plastics to get their stuff at the front of the line. But I haven't heard back from the state fire marshal yet. Certainly, John, when I hear that, I'm going to get that right over to Ted so we can plan accordingly. That is... a summary of what's going on. You know, we are working on this 7 days a week in terms of enforcement and spot checks. The problem children of 2 weeks ago have all gone on the straight and narrow. Sauger Tuck is looking pretty good. Very busy. My checks this weekend. These places are doing well. Rizzuto's will be expanding their footprint this weekend, and, you know, they're complying and they're doing a good job. So if anybody has any questions, ask them now. If you'd like to speak to me offline, give my office a call at 341-5020. Happy to take your queries and guide you through the process. We're here to work with you to make this a success.
Does anybody on the team have any questions for Nate? All right, and maybe just an update for those sectors that are opening on the 17th. By and large, and I'm looking at Nate in the Brady Bunch boxes here, but by and large, what the strategy will be self-certification and spot checks. So there won't be any, we will not be certifying somebody opening prior to the 17th for the business sectors that are opening up next week. Am I correct? So we're.
With one exception to that, restaurants who did not apply for an outdoor activity license or opening for indoor only will get an inspection to ensure that they comply with all the COVID cleaning, separation, and those requirements. I haven't talked to Mark Cooper about how we're going to do that yet. We're probably going to divide it up in some way. But certainly myself and my inspectors, I got to list all the restaurants. You know, the ones we know who's applied for outdoor, we know who's been checked off. Those that have not will minimally get a drive-by, and if it looks like they're going to open, we're going to say, hey, can we take a look? What's your BRC number? Where's your hand sanitizer? What's your cleaning thing? All those things to check them off. And then once we get from 50% to 100%, are we all set?
Great. No, thank you. And again, you know, thank you for joining us today, Nate. I think it's really important, again, for the public to understand how serious we're taking the reopening from a standpoint of safety, and how serious our business owners are taking reopening from a standpoint of safety. I think that, you know, health and safety of our community and certainly from a business owner standpoint of their employees and themselves are at the forefront of everybody's mind as we try to restart our economy locally. And we're going to have to clone Mark Cooper and Fire Marshal Nate Gibbons from a standpoint of how many inspections and their teams, how many inspections they've been doing and how many conversations they've been having with our business owners to help make sure that that we're all on the same page. So thank you all for your efforts on that and ongoing. Greatly, greatly appreciated.
By the way, we are being far more strict than neighboring towns, just so you know.
Yes. I have heard the same again, just through the grapevine, but I have heard the same. And you know, you're right.
Party. That's what I say. You know, we were an early hotspot. Got to be strict.
Yeah, and I think it's I think that we want to do it right. And maybe a little bit of that does mean strict, but we want to do it right, and we want to make sure people feel safe and confident to go out and to, you know, to start to reengage in the community. And so I agree with you. It feels like the right strategy, and I think everybody on this team agrees with that. And I think it's the tone that's been set from the very beginning, from the top. So, and you know, with Jim Murphy and our first selectman and many of you as department heads. So I thank you all for that, for setting the tone appropriately from the very beginning. So, all right. Anything else for Nate? Yeah, please, Jen.
If I can just make a clarification, because apparently I misspoke. The invite has not gone out yet for our Zoom meeting on Monday. It'll be going out later this afternoon, so I don't want everybody to just rush and send an email to our account. So that will be going out. So I guess if you don't get something later today, by tomorrow, if you have not received something and you're interested in joining, then you could reach out. So I just want to make that correction.
Thank you. Right, and the email account, if you want to contact the team, again, is reopenteam@westportct.gov. All right, agenda item number four, and maybe to talk about some good news, which all this is good news, actually. This is all very hopeful work right now. Randy, do you want to just give the team a little bit of an update on the most recent decisions that have happened that affect what downtown will look like? And then, Jim, I'm going to ask you to talk about what we approved at the Board of Selectmen's meeting yesterday. Okay, but we'll start with Randy.
Okay, so, Jen, you want me just to talk about not the, the decisions from yesterday?
Oh, sorry. I was going to have Jim talk specifically to the drive-in movie theater concept.
Oh,
but
got it.
You would please. Right.
Do the other stuff. Okay. All right.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. So, yes, we've been busy with the Board of Selectmen and with other town departments. I have to call out how collaborative and problem-solving of a process it's been. So it's a real kudos to every department that's been involved. I want to particularly call out Fody and his team who have been terrific with that, but everybody has. You know, Nate, your team, everybody has been very collaborative in this process, which is great. So a couple of key updates. John already mentioned that we do have not only beautiful new baskets downtown, but we have 443 graduates featured up on banners throughout downtown, and we've had a lot of parents and kids out looking for their names on the banners, which is really wonderful. We were happy to work with the Staples team on that, and we are going to be leaving those up through the month of June. So the whole month of June, they're going to stay up. We're going to replace them at the end of June with a summer banner thing that says shop, dine, and safely enjoy, which you'll also see already on the Post Road. Additionally, we did gain approval with some collaboration to close parking on Lower Main Street, which is basically from from Elm Street to the Post Road. It's where the sidewalk is much more narrow than other parts. And the primary purpose of this is to do that safely. Part of our goal, safely and welcome for shoppers, so they'll have more room to move. We are going to be placing 32 barrel planters on there on the 22nd of this month, which are being funded by the DMA, but supported by a wonderful outpouring of volunteers from the community who are going to help us plant them and also help us water them throughout the summer as well. And those should look really, really quite beautiful. And as we've all talked about, this is certainly a nice pilot to see how having a wider space up in that end might be for the future. So we'll give people more room to walk, and it'll look quite beautiful. And the great news is we have several new stores opening up there over the next few months. Our construction from Tucci is literally wrapping up tomorrow, so which is great. So we will have a nice open walkway up there. Additionally, to support that, and that does involve some loss of parking, although parking has been the least of our issues at the moment, just like the train station, which is what we'd like to have more of. We did go before the Board of Selectmen again yesterday, and we're very thankful, by the way, to get on the agenda at the last minute. Big thanks to Eileen Francis to making that happen. And we got approval to lift the two-hour parking restriction throughout the downtown area, which would mean the public parking lots and the curbside parking for the summer. Now, what we've agreed to do, a very key part of that, is that we are going to be enforcing a lot of cooperation from our merchants to make sure that merchants aren't utilizing those places and they're really open for shoppers. So that communication has already started, and we will be continuing to monitor that, and we've agreed to come back to the Board of Selectmen with continuous feedback, both from consumers and from merchants. But the early end is that everybody's doing a little dance of joy, and they're very excited about this opportunity to have another reason to come downtown. I do want to also call out that, you know, the initiative from the police department, rather than just simply slapping something up over signs, they've gone to the extra step, and we're working with them to provide some signs that also feel more welcoming. So this isn't just, hey, we're getting rid of this, but we're actually trying to welcome people downtown. And so that's happening, you know, in close collaboration with them.
Brandy, can I just add, because you're on that topic, everyone on here, if anybody has ideas, when I just picked up the phone call, I've come up with a company that's going to send us out covers, both rigid and covers that slide over the signs, but even the ones that are double. I'm open to ideas for any artwork. I can have them printed up with any type of welcoming signs or for Welcome to Westport or anything that we can get on there would certainly be helpful to me. But I'll be working on that end to get those signs.
Yeah, Fody, so we've already volunteered to help you with that. So, in fact, the Jackie, I think, is having a conversation with Al, if not at this right moment, but very shortly. So, you know, we're happy to provide you anything you need on that front. And also share the pieces that we've already sort of put in place that we're going to be pushing out to social media and on our email lists and everything else. And we're only holding up just to confirm today that all of our timing works, because we're going to work in coordination with the timing. We're hoping it's going to be the 22nd, and hope that all works. So, yeah. So, Fody, should that be a – should we continue that conversation with Al or with you?
I will give you a call after, and I will handle that part of it. I put a lot on Al, so I will give you a call and just for artwork. But if anybody has ideas that you'd like to see on this whole committee, I can certainly work on that also.
Fantastic. And Jen, that's really it right now. Other than that, we're going to continue to look for opportunities to welcome and invite people downtown. But we think this is going to be a great starting point. And again, the great news is that we also continue to see plans moving forward for new merchants to open downtown and reopen. We no longer have any boarded up stores, which is wonderful. We have, you know, two new restaurants that are either open or opening in the next couple of days. And we have, you know, again, four or five new merchants that will be opening too. So we feel like we're ready.
That's great, Randy. Does anybody have any questions for Randy on the ever evolving changes in downtown and once, in my humble opinion? Anybody have any questions? Well, there's so much reason, again, for anybody in the public listening or watching, there's so many reasons to go downtown now. And walk and see what's going on and start to slowly re-engage with some of our businesses and restaurants, not only downtown, but across Westport, but specifically some really exciting things happening in our downtown. So thank you, Randy, for all your work on that. And again, your team with Jackie and Rebecca. All right, and Jim, do you want to, this is sort of related to downtown, but also as something else, a new initiative that has coming out of the times we live in. Do you want to talk about what we saw at the Board of Selectmen meeting yesterday and what we approved?
Thank you, Jen. Before I get to that, actually, Matthew and I are planning a ribbon cutting next week, if you can imagine that. Fantasy Farms. It's in Bedford Square, and I'm sorry, Matthew. What's the name of the
Franny's Pharmacies?
Franny's Pharmacy.
That's it. Thank you. And so, in the midst of all this, we have new stores opening, and Randy alluded to that. And I know there'll be some other stores opening downtown in the near future as well. So that all exciting, and to know that the business still moves forward in spite of, and in fact, I think because of the attention this group and the downtown merchants and the Chamber of Commerce are paying to making that happen. And again, I want to thank everybody who's a part of this team for all you're doing on top of everything else you're doing to make sure that our various businesses are able to open in an orderly fashion. And I want to build a little bit on some comments that Nate was making and some observation here. We have been careful to reopen, and in some cases, I know it's been frustrating to some of the businesses, and I've gotten some feedback look at other communities. But we're not done with this pandemic yet, and some of the news this morning was actually the national level and international was a little disconcerting. The notion that and I worry about this in the role that I have to play is are we going forward too soon to return to something that looks like normal? So as a community, we want to be careful not to go backwards inadvertently here, and I commend this team and the staff that works with them to be for preaching caution and going forward carefully so that we don't reintroduce the virus inadvertently to our community. And our messaging still has to be about that. We're not done with this yet, and as much as we'd like to be on to other things, we still have to pay attention to this. So thank you very much for that attention. And I ask the Westport residents, public, to understand that we're not doing this to be penalizing anybody, but we're trying to do this to be sure that we remain a healthy community and successfully on the right path to long-term health in the community. Now, to the specific thing I was asked to talk about, at yesterday's Board of Selectmen meeting, which was, I believe, the longest Board of Selectmen meeting in my term, but the large part of that time was devoted to the approval of a drive-in movie capability on the Imperial parking lot. We did this with a lot of consideration to trying to recognize that we're in the midst of a neighborhood, and there are residents who live very relatively close or within earshot of the Imperial Avenue parking lot. So the drive-in movies will be the sound will be projected just into the cars. So we believe that will be a modest, if any, disturbance. But more as importantly, it's going to give an opportunity for people to do something, but socially distanced and safely within their own cars. But on top of that, we're building on Matt Mandel and the Chamber of Commerce concept of what we used to call supper and soul, but now it's supper and a drive-in movie, where we're encouraging people to bring their whatever food nourishment with them, there won't be initially any sort of concession stand capability so that people will be encouraged to stay in their cars. But you're certainly welcome to stop by any one of our restaurants, downtown or otherwise, and bring food with you and enjoy the drive-in movie with that. The movies will be limited to probably 90 minutes, 100-minute movies, presumably family-friendly. There were all kinds of ideas of special genres and attracting specialized audiences. But again, for starters, primarily focus on a family event. Will be well-controlled. Tickets will be purchased ahead of time online. And as importantly, we're working, our police, public works, a fire marshal will be working with the group that's putting this together. And I'll come back to that in a second Nate just put up a sign that the rest of the audience can't see as to his suggestion for the first movie. We'll see about that. But in any case, to make sure that the setup is safe and if anybody has to leave quickly for whatever, or if there's an emergency, that's taken care of, and that we're also doing it in the right socially distanced way. This is being spearheaded by a group called the Remarkable Theater, and this is all about a long-term strategy of creating a theater, much like the Prospector Theater in Ridgefield, that some of you may know of, that employs young adults with special needs, and is a remarkable in itself, a remarkable activity. So this is sort of a first step toward that, and there's a fundraising aspect that's related to this, but primarily to offer an entertainment opportunity. Granted, for a limited number of cars, we think 70 at the outside. It may turn out to be less than that once we get the exact layout done. But sometime in the next couple of weeks, I think we'll have the first exhibit. We've established it so that we will take a look at how this is going after, I believe it's 4 shows, just to see how the process is working, if there's been a negative impact on the neighborhood, and what might be done to improve it from a health safety standpoint as well. So an exciting development, again, one that's trying to bring some sense of a new normalcy back to Westport. And again, I hope that the residents of Westport will support it in the positive way it's intended. Ken?
Great, thank you, Jim. Any questions from anybody on the moving theater concept? And to be honest, I think there are a few other concepts that are out there that hopefully, as the weeks go on, we'll be able to update the public on more new and exciting things from a programming standpoint that are going to be moving outdoors. We'll keep everybody updated as time moves on, because like Jim said, we're looking to build safe activities that are part of our new normal, where we can still engage with each other and the community, but do it in a way that where our health and safety are at the forefront as well. So this drive-in theater concept, run by the Remarkable Theater, but also with help from the Chamber and the Library, Women's Club, and a number of other, it really is a collaborative effort, but spearheaded by the Remarkable Theater, is just a fabulous idea. And so thank you to everybody involved, and we really hope Westporters will enjoy the movies. All right. Anybody, any other questions for Jim on that? Okay. So again, for the public, these meetings are all recorded, and they're all uploaded to our westportct.gov website, where also a lot of very good and informative materials are also stored, whether they be in the FAQ documents on a business sector standpoint. We also have some very good links back to the state website on a variety of different reopening issues. So we're really trying to keep people informed in the community on how we are reopening the town and the economy. And so please do visit the website or send an email to reopenteam@westportct.gov if you have any questions. And unless anybody else has anything else from the team standpoint, I think we can adjourn, and we'll aim to be back again next Thursday with, in theory, about 95% of the economy open. So, all right. Thank you very much, everybody, for your time today, and we'll see you next week.